There are 25 angels in this building. You cannot bring forth the counsel of the Lord without the counsel of the Lord. Jeremiah spoke about the prophets and said, if these prophets had stood in my counsel, they would have heard my words. God has an environment in which his counsel is revealed. God has a congregation, a context in which his plans are dispensed. Your meeting this weekend is supposed to be a gathering unto the counsel of God so that his counsel can be revealed. Do you understand that? Our meetings and conferences can no longer be gatherings of celebration, simply unto celebration. We can no longer have programs outside of the program of heaven. There are seasons in which heaven's gates and portals are open. So when portals calls a meeting or a conference, it is because the portals are open. Do you understand what I am saying? We cannot come with itching ears simply to hear what we want to hear. We must be gathered unto the King and unto the Lord with the counsel of heaven. Our spirits must be in alignment with the gates that are open as we declare the day of the Lord. Do you understand what I am saying? When portals call a meeting, it's because portals are open in heaven. Portals are gates. They are spiritual gates unto dimensions in heaven. And the Bible says, we will enter his gates with praise, his courts with singing. And so when there are gates that are opened in heavenly places, it is because courts are in sitting. Do you understand what I am saying? And when courts are in sitting, decrees and judgments and governments begin to proceed. Proclamations, decisions and verdicts begin to proceed, which is what we receive as prophetic words and prophetic utterances for the season. Do you understand what I am saying right now? Prophetic utterances will not be concise or precise outside of the court that is sitting in the council of heaven. Do you understand what I am saying? And so when we gather to fellowship, our spirit must be tuned to that which is open in heavenly places, so that the gates are open. We enter into the court. We can sit in the council and we can hear the counsel of the Lord. Unto the Lord shall the gathering of his people be. The scepter will not depart from Judah, nor a king, a ruler, a lawgiver, a decree maker from between his feet, until the king, the Shiloh, him to whom it belongs shall come, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be. Lift your right hand and say, unto him shall the gathering of the people be. Unto the counsel of the king shall the gathering of the people be. Unto the courts of heaven, unto the gates that are open, unto the council that is in sitting, shall the gathering of the people be. Let now your servants be brought through the gates, unto the courts of the council,
that is sitting. Lift your hands and pray that prayer.
Oh, holy mama, Masikaya, Aya.
Is going to be poured out. The spirit of revelation is going to be poured out. The spirit of God is going to renew your sight. I will cleanse your heart. I will renew your perspectives. The overshadowing wings of the seraph shall cover you. In Jesus' name. It's a spirit of fire. The angels are moving through this hall and they are picking things up for people and cleansing perspectives and renewing hearts and minds. A spirit of reform is going to be poured out. The gates of the courts and the councils will be opened. The pastor of the priesthood. Makabashika haya leke teye bronto suka haya. Ikadaya bakabashika haya leke teye bronto suka haya. Double impartations are going on. The spirit of thunder will be released. Many yokes are going to be broken. Many yokes are going to be broken. Hallelujah. There are some ranking angels that have not been in this vicinity, in this territory, that are arriving right now. And I see a pillar of spiritual government, a pillar of government being erected on campus. And the prince of the power of the air is going to be thrown down. Many strongholds that have endured, entrenched themselves, are going to be rooted up in this time. Because keys of the kingdom and anointings that have not been released before now are now being let loose. The whole earth is full of His glory. Many of your ministries, your callings for this season is being launched right now. And changes are taking place in the spiritual atmosphere. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Let's have our seats. Hallelujah. I can't hear your spirit, man. Hallelujah. Because this is not a fellowship of microphones. It's not a fellowship of speakers. It is a fellowshipping of spirits that is granted access to the things that the Holy Spirit is releasing and revealing. We are entering a new day in the prophetic, in which voices that have found themselves relevant in times past may no longer find it so. We have entered a new day in ministry. You know, I'm speaking like this because I am aware that I'm speaking to an army of God. When we gather in God's presence to hear His counsel, we must put kingdom agenda first before other things are added onto it. Do you understand? And so we bring forth the things that are the needs of God, that are the heart cry of God for the season, before we address that which may be personal unto us, fully understanding that as we follow the voice of the Spirit, that which is our own heart cry and need is going to be heard. Can I hear you say amen? Yeah.
We have arrived in a new season and a new time. In the works of the Lord in the earth. In such a time as this, the old wineskin may not be able to contain the new. The old mindset with which we approach the purposes of God. The old mantles with which we served Him in the previous season may not be effective in the current season in which we find ourselves. The Spirit of God is speaking a message for this season that must be heard by everyone who considers themselves prophetic. Who intend to be part of God's prophetic agenda. Who intends to be a voice speaking for God. Because right now there is a vacancy that has been announced in the prophetic realm for kingdom prophetic voices to awaken in the earth. Isaiah found himself in such a season. In such a season in which whoever had anointing or had grace or had influence could do as they will. And then God began to reveal His kingdom in such a way as to say, no, it is not man who bears rule. It is not even the influence of man that bears rule. But it is the throne of God that is going to determine what is happening among men. In Isaiah 6 verse 1, you hear Isaiah proclaiming his vision in the year that King Uzziah died. And we were explaining last night how King Uzziah was the one that God marvelously helped until he became strong. When he became strong, the Bible says his heart could no longer discern the limits of spiritual office. He could no longer discern that which was the boundary of kings and that which was the boundary of priests. Because he went into the temple to offer incense, that which pertained not unto him as a king. We've been operating in a season where spiritual offices in the context of spiritual structure has not been properly discerned. There has been a mixture of spiritual authority with human influence, and the Spirit of God does not like it. In Ezekiel 44, the Bible speaks about the priests, the sons of Zadok, the ones who will separate between that which is holy and that which is profane. It's not everything that is offered in the secular realm that can be presented on the platforms of ministry. Right now, we do not know the difference between the holy and between that which is common or profane. The Spirit of God has been speaking, and He is speaking about influence that has been generated not by spiritual authority, not by an office you have in the realm of the Spirit, not by passing through gates and times of the seasons of God for you to come into a particular ranking, to build the body of Christ into a particular realm of authority. But influence that has been generated by the means of the resources of men, not the resources of God. Simply that you have the finances to do something, to go on air, to have your own program and platform, does not mean you should. Because you may not have that mandate out of heaven to influence the souls of men the way that position is going to give you. That's one example. Simply because certain people are under your authority and you can use them as resource to achieve certain things that are within the means of your resources, does not mean you have the validation from the Spirit of God to do it. Let's get home. Simply because you have the people and the resources to hold certain programs does not mean you are anointed by God to do it. And right now, throughout the body of Christ, we have a proliferation of ministry and programs, both anointed and not. And so what we have is a mixture, not a revelation of spiritual order and heavenly government. And so King Uzziah felt, now that he was helped, now that he had influence, now that he had fame, he could enter into certain offices that pertained unto him. A lot of people do not understand when they are crossing the boundaries of their unction. Too much measurement of spiritual authority, too much measurement of what God's will is, simply by influence among multitude, is mixing up spiritual accuracy, and it has been reducing spiritual discernment. King David, after he became successful, felt it was now time to number the amount of armies that he had, the number of soldiers that were under his command, and he gave the command to know just the degree of his authority by measuring his influence among men. He's not allowing the discerning of the plans of God to get clear. The mixture is not allowing the speakings of the Spirit of God to come with clarity. The mixture is causing disalignment in the armies that God is raising right now. Certain levels of authority that should have been released in the earth to fulfill certain mandates are still being held back right now. Certain promotions that should have come to men who yet remain in the wilderness are being held back. Do you understand? Because if they are promoted, they will be promoted into the mixture. And the pathway that connects where they stand and where God wants them to stand has been obscured by the mixture. We no longer understand true spiritual ranking because our measures of spiritual authority is based on the human measures of relevance. And God does not see as man sees. He does not think as men think. As the heavens are far from the earth, so are my thoughts from your thoughts and my ways from your ways. God has a plan and a pathway, a process of moving believers, moving his sons and daughters, and moving the ministries, and moving the body of Christ as a whole from one level of authority and spiritual influence to the other. He has a pathway and a sequence of accomplishing it, but we have our own. And the way in which he does it is becoming more and more obscure because the way human beings do it is becoming more popular. And as the Spirit of God was saying yesterday, that is why many people cannot tell discernment just because someone puts a sticker and say, "Let love lead the way." You cannot tell who is talking because it looks good, it sounds good, it looks Pentecostal, it is dressed up nice, it is on TV, it has a choir, hello, It has some nice projection on the wall, some nice captions and phrases that you capture and you put out there, and everybody loves it because it is a sweet talk. You cannot tell the difference between the true, the holy, and the profane, simply because it looks like everything else. We are living in the days in which places will look absolutely fine. They will look normal. They will preach scripture. Do you understand? Scripture will be quoted there. The teaching will even be doctrinally correct. There will be no way to find fault with it. But yet everything in that setup will be false. You don't understand. The Bible says that strong meat belongs to them who by reason of use have their senses, have their discernment exercised to discern between good and separate it from evil. That is the ministry of the end time priest, the sons of Zadok, that we separate between the holy and the profane. The lords of the Philistines, when they were returning the Ark of the Covenant, they put it on a cart that was drawn by an ox, and they put their offerings of gold on top of it, and they said, let the ox go the way in which it came. And when the children of Israel saw that the Philistines, they put the glory of God, the Ark of the Covenant, the throne of God, upon an ox-drawn cart, they too, they continued in the same way. But you see, the Ark of the Covenant had four rings at the side. It was never supposed to be put on an ox-drawn cart. The Ark of the Covenant had four rings and two golden poles in between those rings, so that four priests can carry the Ark. That is the required design for the carrying of the glory of God, for the revealing of His throne and His government in their midst. But when the Philistines put the glory on a cart, the children of Israel repent. You see, we cannot reveal or estimate glory by measures that the world uses to measure it. Are you still here? We cannot carry the move of God by the means and the methods and the measures that the world uses to carry their own glory. The children of Israel didn't read the book of Exodus and the book of Numbers and the book of Leviticus. So they put it on an ox-drawn cart. And it got to a point, the cart began to stumble. And Uzzah put forth his hand to steady the Ark of the Covenant. And the Bible says God smote him. And then we preach it from there and says, you can't touch the glory of God. Listen to me. The glory of God does not stumble in the right context and environment. Do you understand? If the priests had known what to do, and David had taught them to carry the ark on their shoulder, on the shoulders of four priests, nothing would have stumbled that day. And Uzzah would not have had need to put his hand to stabilize the ark. Are you still here? And so we have collateral damage happening because there is no structural alignment. Are you still here? We are measuring glory the same way the Philistines are measuring glory. We are measuring ranking the same way the Philistines are measuring ranking. We are interpreting open door the same way the world is interpreting open door. We are interpreting gates of authority the same way that the world is interpreting gates of authority. And the gates that you pass through, the doors that you pass through, the pathway that you engage will determine the destination that you end up in. And so there is a strategic ploy in the realm of the spirit to disconnect the pathways, to obscure the gates by which we can pass through legitimately under the processes of God and inherit true spiritual ranking. Not influence mixed with the agenda of men. Are you here? It's not basic level warfare. It's strategic warfare. I'm saying something to you. Many of you, your next mantles, your next levels of promotion are not in the structures that exist right now. The pathway to inherit the fulfillment of prophecy that is hanging over your head is being obscured right now for the very purpose of making sure that you don't ever discern that pathway, that wisdom ordained unto glory, that you never really ever see it, and by there never come into the ordained glory, the ordained promises, and the word of the Lord over your life, thereby cutting off the purpose, the plan, and the destiny that is intent upon your life. Strong meat belongs to them who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern between good and evil. Recently in a vigil, the Spirit of God began to reveal to us that beasts are gathering in the realm of the Spirit. That beasts over nations, beasts over territories, beasts like the ones in Daniel 7, beasts like the ones in Revelation 12, Revelation 17 and 18, that bring corruption over men, that weaken the witness of God in the nations, are gathering. Isaiah found out that he was a man of unclean lips. When the throne of God arrives, we begin to discern where the boundaries of offices have stopped and where the mixtures are taking place. Look at verse 5 of Isaiah 6. Then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. We are becoming a people who are speaking things that are mixtures because of the environment that we find ourselves. Prophetic ministry should never be environment based. Isaiah discovered after kingdom order arrived that his response in the prophetic had been mingled and mixed because of the environment that he was in. He responded more to the environment than he responded more to heaven. His response was more to his environment. His prophetic words tilted more to his surrounding than it leaned more into heavenly movements. And his words became unclean. The mixture is going to make sure that many people remain in the wilderness for longer than necessary. The mixture is designed to make sure that the word of the Lord is hindered for a longer period than usual. Even now, a lot of prophecies hang unfulfilled. It is because the pathways are obscured. But today, we come to declare to you that there is an announcement in the realm of the Spirit, and the seraphs have gathered. And they are making a decree on behalf of the throne of God. And saying God is sanctified. He is holy. He is set apart. He is in his own realm. And if there is going to be utterance for him, it is going to be according to his own government. The influence of man is not going to give you ranking in the realm of the Spirit anymore. And the Ark of the Covenant is no longer going to be carried on ox-drawn carts. When we remain babes, we do not have discernment. When we remain sucklings, we cannot see the deeper things of God. And that is when the beasts arise with every wind of doctrine. When they awake with every wind of doctrine, the beasts begin to come out of the sea. I want you to open Daniel chapter 7. and then you are going to read Ephesians chapter 4. Daniel chapter 7 verse 2 says, Daniel spake and said, I saw in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of heaven strode upon the great sea. And the four great beasts came up from the sea, divers one from another. Did you notice that it was winds that was playing on the sea of humanity? When you see seas in the prophetic scriptures, it is talking about the nations and the masses of humanity. When you see winds, it is talking about every wind of what? Doctrine. Are you still here? Beasts don't just arise and begin to pollute the nations. Beasts don't just arise and begin to subdue the nations, consume the nations, destroy the earth, and attack the saints. They need winds blowing on the sea before they can arise. Look at Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 10 says, he that descended also is the same also that ascended up far above the heavens, that he might feel all things. You can't feel things unless you've ascended in spiritual ranking. But if there's no ascent in spiritual rankings, there can be no vacuums in the realm of the spirit. Now look at the effect. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body, verse 13, till we come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Look at verse 14. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed and fro and carried about by every what? Strong meat belongs to them who by reason of use have developed discernment. If there is no development into ranking and maturity to handle strong meat, it means everybody will remain a babe. And if everybody remains a babe, then every wind of doctrine will be blowing. And if every wind of doctrine is blowing upon the sea of humanity, guess what will arise? I can't hear you. I can't hear you. Do you see what is going on? The Spirit of God began speaking and giving example from America and saying, why is it that a nation that has raised so many great men has now fallen almost completely into the hand of the people who say right is wrong and wrong is right, and it is right to marry a man as a man and a woman to... They've not started though. The day your children go to school and the law has already passed the policy that they should teach from kindergarten upwards that it is okay for a boy to have a boyfriend, that's the day you will know that peace have arrived. And the Spirit of God was saying, why is it that such a nation that has such a great heritage with mighty ministries and mega churches that we are all copying and building after right now, how did they fall into the hands of such beasts that have every wind of doctrine that is raising different kinds of human beings that are no longer human beings in the earth? And he said, winds can only blow on sea with every kind of doctrine to raise beasts when the fivefold does not build into maturity. In other words, winds can only blow when there is no ranking and there is no growth, true spiritual growth. Winds and beasts will arise when everybody is a babe and is suckling. Look at verse 14. that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro. We have mega churches, but everybody is a child. Without the maturity, strong meat belongs to them who by reason of youth have their senses exercised to discern between good and evil. How be it, we speak the wisdom of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Among them that are mature, full of age, among them that have gained ranking, not the wisdom of this world or the princes of this world that come to naught. You see, had the princes known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Jesus said, the hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. And that glory was the death by which he was going to die. In our contemporary culture, glorification is media. And influence and money and control and power. And then we look at all of that and say, these people, this ministry is great. They've broken through. They've succeeded. God has brought them into glory. Do you know why? It is because we can't discern the glory of God from the glory of men. And discernment means you've grown and you've matured, you've gained rank, you become full of age. But when there is no revelation through discernment, the wisdom of God that defeats the princes and reveals the true glory of God is shut down. And then every wind of doctrine begins to blow upon the sea of humanity. And then beasts begin to arise. The authority to contend with them and to defeat them has been shut up in a pathway that has become obscured. Listen to me. The devil knows there is outpouring of prophecy. He tried to quench. The former plan the enemy had was to quench prophecy. So Paul responded to it and said, quench not the spirit of prophecy. Refuse not prophesying. Separate between the holy and the profane. Hold fast to that which is good. So the enemy knew that stopping the prophecy was not going to work. Because in the last days, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters will prophesy. So that plan did not work. So the next phase of the plan is to go and muddle up and confuse, to mix the holy with the profane. And when the babes, the children who have not exercised discernment, cannot tell the difference, they will yield to every wind of doctrine. And when every wind of doctrine is moving, even though there are masses of people gathering, even though it is a mega churches all over the land, even though it is great paparazzi throughout the earth, so long as it is children, they cannot stop every wind of doctrine and discern and decipher. So long as it looks good, the stage is nice, the people are gathered, the choir is singing, the keyboard is jamming. You cannot tell. There's nothing wrong with all of those things. Do you understand what I am saying? It's just that both the good guys and the bad guys can use them. So if you cannot tell the difference, you are going to be carried by every wind of doctrine. And when we have masses of people who are carried by every wind of doctrine, that is the cue for beasts to begin to arise. That's what happened to America. And have you noticed that the same thing is going on around here? Where everywhere is full, but there is no discernment of the purposes of God. Where we have the largest Christian gatherings in the earth, but we cannot tell prophetic alignments from generation to generation. We can't discern the times and the seasons. We cannot separate between the holy and the profane. Guess what is beginning to happen now? Every wind of doctrine is doing what? It is doing what? I don't think you are excited about this, my message. Now that there is no discernment, no meat chewing mature ranking men to separate the holy and the profane, to discern the wisdom of God, where glory looks like death, to be able to walk through that door and come out with the authority to raise the dead and pull down the princes of power. When there is no discernment of the true gates into authority, the beasts will be unhindered. They will awaken with every wind of doctrine. And there will be no ranking to challenge them. Because our glory is the glory of men, not the glory of God. Our authority is the influence of men, the number of our army, not our alignment. Not our alignment with heaven. Our sitting is by the ox-drawn cart. The mode of the movement of the move of God is by the patterns of the world, not by the instructions of the Holy Spirit. How will we discern two gates of authority? To pass through them, to come into ranking, to discern the wisdom of God, and to be able to challenge the princes of power. How will we? Lift your hands. The Spirit of God is sounding the alarm. War has been declared in the Spirit. The beasts are gathering. And their intent is to rise into rulership by every wind. Heavy winds that are blowing upon the sea of man. You are looking at Nigeria right now. And you are saying we are having a revival. Listen to me, you will tell whether we are successful or not when discernment comes through. Because right now, it is the battle for truth versus the false. It is the battle of the holy versus the profane. If the enemy can mix the holy with the profane, winds of doctrine are going to blow beasts into power out of the sea. Lift your hands. Let the portals be open. I see portals open like cylinders, like windows out of heaven. And they are opening unto pathways unto glory, pathways unto ranking, pathways unto authority, pathways unto spiritual influence, pathways unto the true gates of power that God has ordained, not mixtures. Not the influences of men, not the wisdom of man, but the gates of God that can open unto true authority to check the evil that is beginning to rise right now. Because Nigeria is in the same attack that the enemy put upon the United States. He will allow us to have our mega churches and our mega programs and our mega denominations, but everybody will be a child, and there will be no discernment. And then the winds of doctrine that you are seeing that are going everywhere, where truth versus iniquity is won by scandals and by media publicity, not by the discernment of the authoritative speakings of God, you are seeing a danger that you have not yet comprehended. Listen to me, they pass laws against them in the National Assembly and said anybody who practices this evil, which is good, a good law, will be jailed for 14 years. But has this stopped them? Have you noticed that the beast has arisen in America? It has arisen in UK, and they are beginning to support them. Because last week, they had a demonstration in some of your states. Is that so? Do you know what is going on? When the beast that has eaten up those nations begin to put pressure on Nigeria, mind you, you know some of your elected officials, they practice the same thing. That those laws, that's the practice in the courts of power. Is that not so? You people in the north, you know what is going on. So if they are practicing that thing and they pass laws against it, the people who come into power, for them to enter into power, they must join that court where they practice that thing. Is that thing going to be tied down for long? Hmm. Those beasts already have allies in your government. You don't know. When in 3 years' time they begin to soften that law because of pressure from the Western nations, your eyes will begin to open. Then they will give it further scientific backing. So now they begin to teach it as part of biology in secondary school. Are you here? The beasts awake. They arise when every wind of doctrine is blowing. Do you hear? And every wind of doctrine will blow when everybody is a child and cannot operate and exercise discernment. In the war between the holy and the profane, between the true and the false, the spirit of discernment is the key weapon. The prophetic ministry that should have brought precision in discernment is what the enemy has attacked with mixture. He couldn't quench it. Now he has mixed it. And when discernment is blunted, the winds will be blowing. The people will be gathering, but the winds will be blowing. After the people have gathered their mass in the name of whoever they say they gather, it is beasts that will sit on top of them. The war is on. Can't you see? Can you not discern? And that's why the Holy Spirit is calling forth the sons and the prophets and saying, come unto me. The former realms and the former seasons have come to a close. You can no longer prophesy from the basis of your environment. Isaiah discerned and said, I am a man of unclean lips, living in the midst of the people of unclean lips. The environment is contaminated. It is full of mixture. You go to places, everywhere is nice. The Bible is big on the pulpit, and they are saying everything correctly, but it is a falsehood. How will you tell? We are building by the pathways of human beings unto glory by amassing more and more people, by growing more and more branches, by having more and more fame, by making more and more connections. We are passing the human pathways to authority and avoiding the divine pathways to stand in the gates of power. When we pass through the human gates of authority, we will not have authority in the realm of the spirit to stop the advance of beasts. By now, loud voices should have been ringing in our nation. Have you noticed that the cry is gradually dying down? Give it 3 years. The laws will be adjusted. These beasts are not local, they are international. And they are riding now on the backs of the world powers to establish iniquity. To call good evil and to call evil good. We are at war already. The enemy's design is a mixture. You are mixing your authority with your ability to ginger people. Mixing your gift and anointing and your prophetic ability with the ability to wind people so that they can give or be a part of your ministry. You don't know spiritual boundaries, spiritual designing, spiritual allotment of territory and tribe. You have no discernment. The beast is at the door. You know people in powerful places. You know what to say to get whatever out of them and to get your agenda done. In the place of the word of the Lord, you are speaking your own agenda. Guess who is already riding on you? Because the authority that should have been used under God's anointing to establish the truth of God, making the church the pillar and the ground of truth, is now being used to further your ministry. You have no discerning for the body of Christ. You cannot discern the shape of the body. You do not understand plurality of eldership. You don't understand that leadership and the decrees of government proceed from a council sitting. The apostles had to be numbered 12 before true government can begin to proceed. Now every apostle has his own platform. Every apostle has his own network. Every apostle has his own ministry. Do you know that it takes a certain number functioning at a particular rank to achieve spiritual authority to checkmate certain things? But when everybody has the resources and the influence to have their own ministry and have their own denomination and platform and cannot discern the true shapes in the body of Christ, guess who is looking for a crack to enter in and devour? When success is ministry, it's compared upon the number that I can gather versus the number you can gather, the number in my congregation versus the number. You don't even know the measures that apply to a particular office in its successful implementation of its calling is different from the measures that is applied to another office in the guess who is knocking? And there is no alignment to create a wall around the city of God. Guess who will pass through the unmanned gates? Because spiritual ranking and influence has been cut in half. When they pray, only half of the 12 stones on the breastplate of the high priest is present. When they intercede, they cannot see illumination for the 12 tribes. And so our structures is denominations. Our patterns are platforms. Our success is the crowds and the human influence. Alignment with heavenly structures and patterns is not part of the priority and the agenda. And so the prophets, the true ones, are isolated. The people who have the influences call themselves by different names and begin to... They have authority, do you understand? They have anointing. But it is not complete without the others. And so who stands to profit from it all? The world is not the same like it used to be. You have human sacrifice every day broadcast on TV. Or what do you think suicide bombing is? A man pours kerosene, fuel on himself and lights himself. And then people, they said it's Arab Spring, the revolution. Has the revolution come? Has anything happened in those nations apart from death? Has anything happened? And they are broadcasting dead sacrifices unto the devil on TV. You know the world has become a darker place. And now summonings are going on, but we are continuing ministry, business as usual. We are continuing programs, business as usual. We don't know that the gatherings of the beast, the summoning of evil armies out of the pit of hell by human blood has already happened. If we do not discern the patterns and the pathways that passes us through the gates of God, we will not have the authority to meet the enemy at the gates when he comes. And it's already starting. Because every wind of doctrine is prevailing. And right now the fight is dying down. The people who have media control are winning the battle. So long as they can point a finger and say the right words and look cool and calculated and have the necessary courage, the necessary PR to impress the masses, they've won the day. Guess who wants to pass through that gate? Prophets prophesy. Now you prophesied. Has discernment emerged? Has truth been established? Has accuracy grown? Has spiritual sight increased? Has the voice of God gotten clearer to the body? You don't see the enemy has attacked the prophetic and has dulled the cutting edge. But in 10 years time, 5 years time, when they start bringing some strange things, and then you have to live in a society where, as a minister, you must agree to marry a man with a man. That's when we start vigil. But the war has already been declared. The beasts have already gathered. And the spirit of the lampstands is revealing the agenda of the beasts. And he's telling us that if we don't grow in the right direction and rediscover the pathways and the patterns, the winds will blow and the beasts will awake from there. Stand to your feet. Lift your hands, lift your hands. There are portals and gates of authority, gates of ranking, gates of truth and discernment that are open for each and every life who wants to answer the vacancy that Isaiah heard the day his lips was cleansed and responded to. Whom shall we send? And whom will go for us? A fresh cry and call unto new kingdom prophetic alignment to go throughout the earth. The pathways and the portals are open. Can you see? Can you see? Because when the throne of government comes, the proclaimers must arise. The pathways, the structures, the true sequences will be revealed. The Ark of the Covenant is here. Can you discern your pathway?
Lord, help me to stay aligned with you. Lord, help me to tread that pathway that you have laid for me. I will not turn to the right or to the left. I will remain with the divine instruction that I have been given. I will run at the pace and in the strength of the Spirit. I will run in the pace and in the strength of the Spirit. I will yield to give that to only what heaven has aligned me to give that to. Somebody open your mouth and pray tonight. Open your mouth and pray. Let this life of mine give that to only what heaven has impregnated me for. Let this life of mine give that to only what heaven has implanted in me. I will not be adulterated. I will not be polluted. Shada kalamana kabosi kevrene mozia. Ale makapida moti sevrene galahaya. Malaka kakakakakone mozi fatelia. Makapaka kalabara gabadayalaba. Ebre kevrene mozi kevrene moza. Ela bada bala bada mozi kevrene mozi mosha. In the name of Jesus, we pray. You see, it may amaze you that we didn't compare notes before we came to this place. As a matter of fact, the last time that I saw Prophet Babs was almost like a month ago. But God is saying the same thing to his church. God is saying the same thing to his church. Because of the satanic intermingling, because of the satanic crossbreeds, many things have been vetted into the body of Christ that should not be there. But like I told you yesterday, there is a generation of the young prophets that are standing up to judge the activity of the old prophets. And they are rising up to say, whatever it is that God has not married to my life, I divorce it tonight. Anything that the Lord has not married to me, I divorce it tonight. Any doctrine the Lord has not married to me, I divorce it tonight. That is the beginning of what we are talking about. Separating yourself from what God has not sent you that you can embark on. I divorce everything that the Lord has not married to me. I divorce it tonight. I make myself ready to judge the impure. I make myself ready to judge that which is not perfect by God. In the name of Jesus, we pray. You know, many times, this is the beginning of answered prayers in our life and in our churches, in our fellowship. I've always said, I don't know about you, but I want to be like Jesus, that every prayer he ever prayed was answered. Every prayer Jesus ever prayed was answered. The only one that should have been turned down was the one that he wanted to step out of alignment with God. But thank God for God, in the midst of wanting to yield, to beg something else, he said, Lord, not my will, but your will. I'd like you to lift up your hands again and say, Lord, not my will, your will. In that area where the devil has been trying to coax you to do the wrong thing, in that area where the devil has been trying to get you to align with something else that is not of God, Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. In the name of Jesus. You see, the spiritual building that is going on, the spiritual building that is going on, has nothing to do with who sees you and who doesn't see you. There are certain things that you do in your closet that can affect many generations. There are certain things you do in your place
of work, there are certain things you do in your fellowship, in your church. Nobody may see it, but it's affecting the building because it's a spiritual building. And guess what? The supervisor of the building is not your pastor. The supervisor of this building is not your pastor. The supervisor of the move that is currently on is not your pastor. So your pastor may not see it, but your life with time will show that you are either aligned with God or you are aligned with something else. Do you understand what I'm saying? Do you understand what I'm saying? Just before we bring God's servant up, I feel it very strong on my spirit. And I want for many of you who stand as leadership points in churches, in ministries, to pay careful attention. I don't know how the ministration is going to go on tonight, but while the servant of God was saying that there are 25 angels here, I saw them stand over people. And I was wondering, the question that came to my heart was, God, but why are these angels standing over people? Who are these people? And he said, he's standing over men who are occupying major gates. Listen to me very carefully. Listen to me very carefully. I told you yesterday why God had to judge that young prophet so quick. There are certain things that you do and you go free that none of these men would do it and go free. Do you understand what I'm saying? Some of you do not understand that God is already apportioning certain gates to you. That the things that you used to do before and were overlooked by the Spirit will no more be overlooked after this meeting. Do you understand what I'm saying? When I went to Kenya, the hotel I was lodged in, they didn't clean it for some days, so I laid a complaint. Because I didn't go out for some days. They didn't clean the hotel room. And I sent a message to them, Apostle. I said, they have not cleaned my room. And they sent in the night a damsel, well-dressed, to bring me an alcoholic wine. To come and apologize. In a strange land, nobody knows me. There was a young man who was staying with me in the room, and I made myself known to him. I made my stand clear to him that, look, this boy is not a playboy. I was surprised that the same person who was born again, that we have been talking spiritual things for days, a bottle of alcoholic wine showed up and he wanted to drink. What do you do when no one sees? Listen to me. There are some of us who have gotten to a point where the reason why we don't do certain things is not because, it's not just because we offend God. It's because the repercussion will be very grievous. Do you understand? I told some people in a meeting, I said, I'm about to carry out an impartation. I said, if I lay hands on you for this particular impartation, if you lay on any woman that is not your wife, you will die, not spiritually, physically. Do you understand what I'm saying? Things are rotating, my friend. Things are rotating. It's a mixture of the oil and the sword. His anointing is judging also. Do you understand? The young prophet was anointed to come and judge the activities of the old prophet. In your classroom, ladies and gentlemen. In your workplace, ladies and gentlemen. Ladies and gentlemen, listen to me. You are sent there not just as a spiritual occupier of the gate, but also as a judge. And God will not allow corruption in the midst of his holy council. When the council of God sits, my friend, there are certain things that doesn't stand there. The Lord is here. I pray tonight that you will align yourself properly to that point where every word that comes out of your mouth becomes the voice of God. Where everyone you touch becomes the extended hand of God. But where does it begin from? That point where you say, God, I don't care who sees me, I don't care who doesn't see me. There is a divine agenda that I'm following, and I must follow carefully, whether anyone sees me or not. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. I dedicate my life to you. I surrender all I have to do your will. I will follow you anywhere. I submit my life to you. Tonight, some of you will cease to become the general overseer of your ministry. It will become the church that Jesus is building. You will cease to become the president of that fellowship. It will become the body of Christ that Jesus himself is building. You will cease to become the leader of that fellowship. It will become that very fellowship that Jesus is building. Ladies and gentlemen, while you are giving it all to Jesus, your heart, your everything, we welcome God's apostle to bring God's word tonight. Apostle Aramel, sir, give it all to Jesus. To Jesus. We stand in reverence, in acknowledgement of your awesome holiness. We stand in awe, beholding the brilliance of your light and your radiance. We stand trembling, knowing that he that has spoken will not change his mind. Lord, we ask for grace and for wisdom. We ask for courage also, that we might know how to choose the right and to receive strength enough sufficient to perform it. Grant, O God, that the least among us will become as strong as David. Let your great name be glorified. Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Please, I'd like you to take your seat. I'd like us to get as much order as we can muster. And I sincerely hope that the words that are coming to us, or the words that have come to us thus far, are not just words that we heard, but words that are strong enough to demand a decision from us. Hallelujah. Words strong enough to demand a decision from us. In the book of Acts of the Apostles, chapter 1, the writer of the narrative, because the book of Acts was written in a narrative form. Hallelujah. You know, there's a difference between a biography and an autobiography. The story of a man's life spoken from the mouth of another personality will not be as deep as when the man tells the story himself. Because if the man tells the story just like Solomon did in the book of Ecclesiastes, he was able to tell us some things that he sustained in his heart, which an observer would not have been able to fathom. So he took us to the very core, took us to the root of some things that guided his actions at certain times. The book of Acts of the Apostles is written from that narrative standpoint. Somebody that had perceived a need to set things in their proper order had come.
He said, the former three times have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach. And as he began this great narrative of the book of Acts of the Apostles stands upon a foundation. And the foundation upon which it finds expression is referred to as a former treatise. A treatise. Hallelujah. First of all, what exactly is a treatise? Is like the word treatise is a register that is used in the confines of the practice of law, as it were. Alright? If you are presenting a treatise to a judge, trying to bring out the accurate position of things that have been shrouded by testimonies, shrouded by the intrigues of lawyers. It is something like a mosaic that brings little parts of a particular thing and presents it the way it is. Now, so the book of Acts of the Apostles is standing on the foundation of a treatise. Knowing that it was Luke that wrote this narrative, he was referring us back to his gospel as the foundation upon which the book of Acts of the Apostles was written. Now, I'd like us to check the introduction of the book of Luke and find out what exactly was that book about that he had to make reference to before the book of Acts of the Apostles could be understood in perspective. If you are still with me, say amen. Amen. In Luke chapter 1, please turn with me. Luke 1. For as much as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us, even as they delivered them unto us, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word. It seemed good to me also, having perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus, that thou mightest know the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed. I like this piece. He was saying that it has become customary, it's popular. CNN has picked it. This Day has picked it. And everybody is telling the story of Jesus. Everyone is broadcasting the things that have happened in the city. So many things have been added to it, so many things have been removed from it that are actually of essence. So a son of order had to rise, having a burden, not just to do the work because it is now popular in the terrain, popular in the nation, popular around, to talk about Jesus and to sing Jesus' songs. But his motivation for giving an account of the things that took place was because he was under the strong hand of God to set in order the things, the declaration of the things that are most. How did he put it? Huh? The declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us. Now, so he came to put things how? In order. You see, That's the most technical part of the apostolic ministry. Putting things what? Because when things are put in order, discernment is easy. Discernment becomes something that is natural, that you grow into. Because you can understand the dimensions, you can understand the eye view, the scale of measurement. This is the most difficult part of the apostolic assignment, putting things in order. Because CNN can pick it and tell a story that suits a political perspective, can put it in a form that lends itself to political correctness, as it is today, thereby obscuring the strong kingdom content and the dimensions that God was putting on display. Hallelujah. Now, in order for you to have the capacity and the authority to put things in order, you must qualify. And if you check the preceding verses, you will see his basis of qualification. He said, the reason why I believe it is God's will for me to do this assignment, to carry out this task, is because I have perfect understanding. Now, a man that was present when an event took place, he has perfect understanding. The guy that tells the story, when he has heard the story, I guess maybe he has heard the story 3 times. The story has been reviewed 5 times, 3 times. Modified. Lies have been added. Some things subtracted. When you hear it in the relay of 5 people, you will find out that you'll be wondering if it's the same event that they are talking about. So he's saying, me, I have perfect understanding. So it's impossible for the devil to deceive me, such as me. And it is God's will for this perspective not to be kept in hiding. It has to be in public display. It has to be captured in public documents, so that you, O Theophilus, that have been instructed in these things, can know the certainty in the things wherein thou was instructed. Do you get it? Because if the devil is going to have a foothold, he must have a way of influencing what we believe. Because a man that can influence what you believe can actually affect and influence your entire destiny. You see, it is very technical for you to say, God does not do this. You must know the God of which you speak. You cannot just be a graduate of a seminary and now say, this is not the way of God. Are you with me? You must have been there in the counsel of God, where God actually revealed his position in the courts of heaven about a particular matter. That is the only way you can be accurate every time. Are you with me? So men of stature and standing had to come to take on the burden of setting things in order, so that the devil will not have any opportunity to exploit that which God is producing in the realms of heaven. Now, you see, even the last 15 years in the body of Christ, where some things began to crop up, men of stature, standing, and order showed up and said, hey, we were there when God said this. Those winds of doctrine that were precipitating would have died a natural death. When prophets that drank into spirits and realms of darkness showed up upon the scene, if men of stature in that time had risen up and said, hey, this man doesn't speak the testimony of God, sons of order, if they had showed up, things would have been kept in proper perspective, and the intention of the devil would have been thwarted, that which Satan wanted to put on display would have been cut off. Now, so if we see ourselves going around in circles, it's because we don't have sons of order just like Luke, that was an eyewitness. You know, Peter spoke about an experience. You know, when they were on the Mount of Transfiguration, hallelujah, so many things took place. The atmosphere and the dimension of heaven was lowered into the earth realm. The things that were obtainable in the environment of God switched on that mountain. And what I mean by that is this. In heaven, for instance, you don't need introduction. Alright? As you show up, you are known. And you also know that you are known. You know, Paul said that I will know as I am known. You will know that you are known, and you also have the ability to know. So knowing, the educational system shifts from the exerting of your mind to the knowing of revelation. Because that realm is powered by the acute dimensions of the Spirit of God. In this realm, in this life, the best that we can do is only to taste of the powers of the age to come. On the best of the Holy Spirit we see, raising the dead, doing all kinds of stuff. The best that there was in Catherine Kuhlman, in Smith Wigglesworth, in Benny Hinn, the best of the Holy Spirit dimensions we have seen manifest through the life of a man is just a taste of the powers of the age to come. Because in the age of which we speak, it is the Holy Spirit that powers that civilization. Do you understand what I'm talking about? Now, see, it's an airtight civilization. That's the word. It's an airtight civilization. Because everything actually advertises the will of one spirit. You see, this world is a broken world. Because so many spirits have testimonies here. Alright? It's a broken world. It doesn't, in all its aspects, reflect the perspective of God. And that's why the intention of God for the kingdom of God to be established here, as it is established in heaven, in the same quality, in the same shape, in the same dimension, is still ongoing. Because this is a broken world. But in that realm, it's an airtight world. The Bible says that which maketh a lie cannot come into that realm. Because it's a civilization powered by a spirit. And everything in that civilization expresses the will of that spirit. You get it? And so on the Mount of Transfiguration, we discover some changes. One of the changes we discovered is that you don't need to ask, who are you? The knowing of revelation is a normal thing that functions in that realm. Meanwhile, if I see you now and say, this is who you are now, you say, my God, what a great prophet. But that's how we live there. The guy saw Elijah and knew Elijah. Saw Moses, he knew Moses. And unfortunately, he was supposed to be seeing things, not talking. So he did not understand the protocol and he made a statement. It was in error. Because the statement was born out of a perspective that was not the spiritual perspective. So a good man that has good intentions can be in error. So if sons of others don't show up, somebody can be sincerely wrong and pioneer it with his status and standing and stature in the spirit realm, and it will be established. You don't understand what it means for God to give you a star. If God gives you a star, it means that your authority is irrevocable. If you serve darkness with that star, that the star will still shine in darkness. Okay, you are not with me. You are not here. Hey, hallelujah. You see, the Bible revealed that Lucifer was what? Was a morning star. A morning star was given unto him. And even though he fell, alright, he was still great in another realm. You cannot revoke a star. No. That's why God takes time before he issues it. But if God has done it, you are a star in your error. You are a star in your lie. You are a star in your fornication. And so sons of order, any generation that they are lacking is a dark age. Because they will have to rise like Luke rose and say the former treatise. Oh Theophilus, of the things that Jesus began both to do and to teach, a declaration of the, not whispers. They were not spoken in the night. They were what? Declarations. This was heaven's statement, standpoint, witness, and testimony. This is heaven's perspective. You cannot cut it off. If you suppress it, it will rise again. So a man that has attained stardom. You know, when the scripture says that your descendants will be like the stars of heaven, you don't understand the implication. It's a realm of irrevocable authority. Hallelujah. When you call Satan a thief, it is true. A liar, it is true. But don't call him a fool, because he's not. Yes. Have you ever read in your scripture where you saw the wiles of the devil? What is a wile? It's a program. He knows the way you think. He knows your grandfather. He knows his weakness. So he writes a program with all those integers and all those variables in view. And then he looks for an occasion for when you will yield to the flesh, to a desire of the flesh. And then the program begins to run. So he goes to sleep because the program is already activated. He's not a fool. Tell your neighbor, he's not a fool. Because I've seen great men rise. And they still operated programs that were written from the kingdom of darkness. You see, somebody starts with zeal now, is praying on the court every night. Let small grace come. He begins to run another program. He gives himself a title quickly. And he has a carriage. He's running a, he moves with a limp. It's a program. See, his father was guilty of pride. That was why he was slain in the market. His grandfather was pride. They brought him to the market square and judged him guilty and stoned him to death. It's a program. It worked before, and it's most likely it will work today. So the fact that I speak for God today doesn't mean I'll speak for him tomorrow. And that's why Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. I become a consistent leader in the body of Christ as long as I acknowledge my indebtedness to Christ to serve his will. I'm just telling you that even the best of us, alright, even we preaching now, are you following? God forbid, but I'm just telling you the way it is. Because no one set out to serve God with a view of not fulfilling God's will. But there were programs along the way that people activated because they sustained desires of the flesh. And in that case, and if it's a situation that that particular individual has received a star, in that error, the star, the authority, the standing, the grace, the oath that God has sworn over that life is still effective, even though the guy fears off. He pioneers that error with the same strength that he pioneered truth. And in fact, error has the capacity to spread faster than truth. Because the Bible says that their word doth eat like a canker. The way cancer spreads, that's how falsehood spreads. And the devil's technique has always been the same: falsehood. so that when people eat falsehood so much, their discernment is deadened. And they will bow down to a God that is not the Holy Ghost. Accept a message that is not the gospel. And accept another Jesus. Discernment has died out. So sons of order, we have to rise. Who have the mandate from God to set things what? In order. Things that are most surely believed among God. What is holiness? Let's start from the basics before we go into the dynamics. What is holiness? Because a time came when holiness became hollowness. A time came when holiness, separation, became segregation. You know, there are two different things. Separation and segregation. The Bible says John the Baptist came neither eating nor drinking. That's segregation. He decided that if he stops watching TV, stop using the internet, stays in the village where there is no light, he will be kept from the world. But the Bible said that even though he did not eat or drink, they say he had a demon. So he did not succeed in escaping the world system. The Bible said that the Son of Man came eating and drinking. What did I say about him? He was a friend of publicans and he was a wine buyer. But you see, Jesus taught us what holiness is. Jesus revealed to us that you are not defiled by contact. The fact that I shake you, shake me now. There's no defilement in this. So I should make contact without what? Contamination. I can have a relationship, but when it begins to affect my heart and some things begin to break out and desires of the flesh begin to yield, it means that there's contamination. My heart is touched. I have to take some time to get healed. Are you with me? So it's not God's idea for you to be segregated. It's just that you are there, but you are separate from them. The command tower that powers your life is a different command tower. And you will not give any of your faculties over to be used as an instrument that the devil will sit upon to advance his kingdom. That is what holiness is. But the time came when it became a conduct, rules and regulations. And it was pioneered by a star. And its attendant weaknesses in the body of Christ became obvious. The reason why we say these things is because we are out of time. We can no longer speak nice. The kingdom of our Father is plundered. And sons of order must rise. And I don't care who is offended. Because even tomorrow you'll be more offended and will be healed at the end of the day. Because if the things that God dealt with me on are true, for the, and they are supposed to be in this conference, most of you will go home pierced tomorrow. So I'm giving you... Do you still fear God? Do you still tremble? When you lie, do you still feel uncomfortable? The fact that you felt uncomfortable means you are still in order. At any point in time, so that feeling uncomfortable is that you are still good, though. You don't feel it anymore. Go and report yourself because you are mixed. You have been in darkness so long that's affected your heart so much that your discernment has been said. You need deliverance. Oh, I know somebody is laughing. If we put the spotlight on you, we'll find canker. What is prosperity? Is it that I amass much more wealth? What is success? First of all, according to the Bible, success is not attainable in your lifetime. Because you are a seed of eternity. You were sucked into this, into time as an arrow, to fulfill a script that is not time based. So if your scale of measurement is of the earth, then you are already in darkness. Paul said, I have fought the fight. He said what? I kept the faith. He said what? I've run the race. Then he now said, thereafter a crown. Hereafter a crown of righteousness is laid up for me. So the effect of the life he lived is not now, is in the what? Hereafter. It your life must be valued from this frame of reference wherein it was fashioned. And success according to that perspective is the degree of compliance that is sustained in your life with reference to God's purpose for your life. So you can be a fine girl with open teeth, 6 feet tall, and a slim waist, and you are a failure speaking in tongues. Because you don't know why you are here. Because you remained a babe when it was a wrong time. The Bible said that in Ramah, Rachel was weeping for her children, and she refused to be comforted because what? There are no more. What did the children do wrong? They were innocent. But it was as if innocent was not enough currency to save them. You know what they did wrong? They were babes at the wrong time. This is not a time to be a babe. It's a wrong time. There's a sword, a beast, slaying from the left and the right. A beast that has refused to refrain itself. A beast that wants to gain mastery of your heart and to use your faculties to adorn the kingdom of darkness. There is a beast lurking in the body of Christ, and the sons of order must begin to redeem the ground that the enemy has taken. What is prosperity? Hallelujah. Oh, you are no longer here. What is prosperity? Seek ye first the kingdom of God. That's the scripture, the pivotal scripture. Because the Bible is the book of the kingdom. Anything in scripture you isolate from kingdom, you are not holding the right perspective. Your doctrine is weak and wicked, except it is aligned with kingdom. And the Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Alright? Why did he recommend priority before he made mention of material and financial stuff? Because the things written in that scripture are the things that the Gentiles seek. And you know the Gentiles are not seeking for anointing. They are seeking for what? Okay, you know what the Gentiles seek. Oh, you are denying that you don't know. You are not. So that scripture is not talking about spiritual things. It's talking about the things the Gentiles seek. Material stuff, financial stuff. But why did scripture recommend that we need to seek first the kingdom of God? That must be our priority, not the financial and material stuff, not marriage. Why is it that the scripture took time to recommend that orientation, that sequence? Because there's a spirit called Mammon. And whenever your heart, you shift it from kingdom as priority, Mammon will possess your soul. No, you are not with me now. I don't have time today to tell you about the angel of commerce and the power of the spirit called Mammon, and how he locks and tries your reins and wants to lock within your soul. Many of you sitting here today, you are possessed long time with Mammon. But you still come to church and you still sing songs and you pray prayers. See, the problem with the Ephesian church was not that they stopped operating the gift of the Spirit. Those guys were the people, I hope you know how that church was founded. Paul found a group of guys that had accepted Christ but have not yet received the Holy Spirit. And when they were ministered to, the Bible says that they spoke in tongues and prophesied. That church in that city was born on the platform of the manifestation of the gifts of the Spirit. And by the time we visited into the book of Revelation, they didn't stop operating the gifts. They only became better. Because at that time in the book of Revelation, they were able to discern the guys that said they were Jews, but were false. Those guys were the synagogue of Satan. That church still was able to discern that. What did they lose? Was their first love. In the Greek, that word first is proton. Is there any chemistry student that can, that's my witness here? And I get a chemistry witness. Only one. Oh, the witness is not powerful enough to teach this balance. The numbering system is sick. God will help us in the name of Jesus Christ. It's a proton. Once you lose the proton, Mammon possesses your soul. Once you lose your motivation as being Christ, the precious, if that is not your motivation, you are operating under something else. And see, in this realm, there's no middle ground. You are either white or black. There's no gray. The preachers that added gray, and now in our generation, many people live there. There was time was taken to show the sequence, the pattern, the orientation. Seek ye first, and all other things will be added. I can tell you the spot I was standing in Kano when I was praying in the night, and the Lord encountered me with a light, and He spoke to me that I prepared your wife, and I'll bring her to you. I can show you the spot I was standing. I was not praying for a wife. Meanwhile, if I had prayed before that day, according to what God told me, she was not prepared that time. So, God will not show me. God will not tell me that. He did not only speak to me, He also took the responsibility to bring her to me. See, there are levels in kingdom, man. If you get to some levels, some things will happen naturally. If you have any other template that is different from seek ye first, you are already snared with great darkness. And the darkness within you is bitter. And you need to find the fresh water this weekend. Hallelujah. That was what was wrong with that church. They lost the first love. So it means they were no longer seeking the kingdom as a first priority. They were no longer being constrained by the love of God. They were just hanging around, doing church business, singing church songs. They were available to the devil to be borrowed sometimes to do the devil's will, you know. They were just there. And after 12 years of running in circles, they became wicked, obviously. Because what they were feeding on was not what God was recommending. Hallelujah. Many times Jesus will speak in parables because He doesn't want the wrong person to hear kingdom things. See, it will cause a lot of pain. You see, many kingdom principles are whosoever principles. That means a man in the occult, if he knows them, he can practice it and it will work. Because God knows the foundation of the earth. He knows what can work. So He speaks in parables. If you know those seven parables of the kingdom very well, if you have read it very well, you will know that a man that has not given God his all can never have God's best. Now, you are teaching people prosperity, that they are going to increase in worldly goods and all of that stuff, and they don't have a commensurate desire for God. You are raising foot soldiers for the kingdom of darkness. Mammon is in control. Even if you don't know, which I know the preachers that do that know, but for instance, maybe you have not grown enough to know, and that is the thing you have been pioneering. You have been helping the devil to advance his cause with your anointing. The devil doesn't need converts, so he borrows people. He borrows anointed people and carnal people. So he uses some anointed people to do the hard job because they have the punch and power to push things. That's why at the end of this journey, you know, the Bible said that every man's work shall be tested with fire. What is fire? What is fire? This one that you use your matchstick to light. See, when Jesus appeared on the Isle of Patmos to John, to check the way he was arrayed, the Bible says, like what? His eyes were what? Like what? So, you know what that fire is? Anything that doesn't satisfy the perspective of Christ will be burnt. If there was any motive that you did it other than pure proton love for Jesus, it's not, it didn't strike a chord anywhere. I know you are not happy today. Because we came here to build this time. So building is difficult. The church doesn't like builders. Likes fraudsters and motivational people. But there was no apostle in the entire scripture that was a motivational preacher. Because the things they were stewards of the mysteries of God. Are you following? They were not chief speakers. They were not eloquent necessarily. But they were administering things. They were stewarding things that were eternal. Alright? That was their kind of business. That was why they could not leave the ministry of the word and of prayer. Because the burden, the weight, the responsibility of administration upon them was such that they could not dabble in cheap things. They kept themselves isolated, separated unto their service until it was accomplished. Most of them died deaths of martyrdom in bearing their witness. Only John was spared alive, that died a natural death. You think that which was born by blood, watered with blood, it traveled with blood from generation to generation, is that what you are practicing today? You don't understand how we can wicked what we subscribe to is. And except God opens your eyes to have a glimpse of that light, the true light that lightens every man that cometh into the world, you might not know how dark your feet have become. I had a mentor. As far as I was concerned, at the time I met him, he was the most powerful preacher I've ever seen. Could manifest 5 gifts of the Spirit in a service. And those days, the gifts of the Spirit were rare. He was a champion man. He had the gift of word of knowledge, word of wisdom, discernment of spirit. He had the gift of prophecy, healing, and the gift of faith. Walking up, he was wonderful. When he stands like that, as if heaven is standing. And he can go so deep in the prophetic, that he can unlock your secrets, even unlock the things in your heart. We went to impossible places. I remember when we were doing invasions in the village, he was riding a bike and I was his passenger. And we went somewhere to pray for somebody and then we missed the road. I remember what he did. He stepped up on the bike, he spoke in tongues. And he drove the bike by word of knowledge and took us back to town. I saw that. I'm not telling you what I did not see. He drove by word of knowledge. That man cannot be lost. You cannot hide your ATM combination number from him. He will know it. You cannot hide your Ecolac combination lock from him. He will know it. He was like Daniel. He could unlock secrets. It was in vain that the Bible says that you ought set a net in the sight of the bed. It was in vain for you to try to hide something from him, because he will know. If he doesn't know in the daytime, he will know in the night. When he sleeps and he wakes up, he says, Mama. Ah! We went for a crusade. He told me, "Sir, I want us to pray this night then he went and slept. So because he said so, I had to pray till daybreak. Who can turn up? I checked, was sleeping. He was still down. He woke up in the morning and spoke three tongues. Makaleto bara. And he knew everything. He knew everything. We went to the crusade ground. Blind people received their sight in the evening. Hey! He can become so drunk that his apron, his handkerchief begins to do the job. Oh my God, he was power. And I followed him. I said, I want what you have. We preached in the villages for 5 years. And in the 6th year, he went to preach in Abuja, came back with a Benz. My man changed. You know, Benz 230 regular. I'm talking of regular, not V-boot. Regular. His comportment changed. Hallelujah. Jesus. And God had to allow that car get burnt as a sign. Then he came back because he abandoned me. I was his faithful son. He abandoned me because he had Benz. When the Benz got burnt, he found me again. I said, the Benz was a distraction. I said, you don't need prophecy to say that. You were God. Say, Kai, God has helped him. 2 years later, he had an invitation to South Africa. Then I started working for the government. And he came and said he doesn't have money to get a passport. With joy, I emptied my account, got the passport, got stuff, got everything. Hallelujah. That was the greatest mistake I made. And I regret it till today that I was part of that distraction in that man's life. It was not the will of God for him to make that trip. I was part of, I'm guilty. I prayed for years for God to forgive me. When he got to South Africa, they gave him just 15 minutes to preach. And he sang as he normally does. That guy would have stayed in the village for 10 years for his heart to be healed. There was something working in it. That thing was not obvious when we were poor. That thing was not visible when we were in the villages. Driving, riding bikes across paths. On the pulpit in South Africa, he began to call people by their South African names. He can get drunk, so drunk, started calling them by South African names. And they started coming out. And he did his hands like this. Everywhere, overtaken by the Holy Ghost. And then the preacher, they gave 1 hour, 30 minutes. That preached like T.G. Jakes. The bishop, he went and said, you have cancer of the large intestine. The man said, hey! He did like this. That was how he was invited to 22 countries. I didn't come back for 2 years. His wife didn't know you'll be away from home for 2 years. He came back with a pot belly, with a deep voice. You know, you need a change of utterance to fit into the mold. Prayed for a man and prophesied to him in Kenya. The Kenyan government was owing him $100 million. He told the man, you'll be paid in 7 days' time. And it may not be that he heard God, but he can just say something and the thing will happen. I'm yet to see another gifted man like that. If he had stayed online for another 20 years, he would have excelled everything that you know. I met him in the village. Hallelujah. Say, 7 days you'll be paid. The man was paid on the 4th day and gave him $1 million. That was where the story changed. something rose up from his hand. Mammon can sow a seed in your life and wait for 21 years. You don't understand what I'm talking about. Oh, you have not been reading your Bible. Because the Bible says, because of this shall all righteous men pray. Check it in the days of Azusa. Those guys prayed so much. Why? So that they will not be used by the devil. Came back a different man. The prophecies were, in fact, the power had multiplied, the prophecies had multiplied. But he will ask you for money before he prophesies this time. Something different was in control. And I didn't know, I invited him to the pulpit and the congregation suffered for a long time. For the first time, I had to mount the pulpit and correct the things he taught. Because the platform God had given us in that land is for truth. And it was defied that day. So I had to, took courage. I came back, opened the scripture, I said, this one is not in the Bible, that is not in the Bible. This is wrong. This is how God operates. Well, the relationship was straight, it died in the process. But a lot of people were saved. And some people now believed that I was ready to answer my call after that. Are you with me? A son of order had to rise. When the purpose of God was not revealed accurately, one that was jealous for the glory of God had to stand up. You will lose so many things when you do that. But that's what we're called to do. We're not called to make friends. And when I finished, I didn't apologize. I came politely to him. He knew that it was by the Spirit of God I did what I did. So he did not rebuke me. But we could not connect to him. At least, I was able to redeem my mistake that day. The beasts have risen. Because sons of order are absent. Even the immediate territories of your heart and your life are not yet fully packaged under the government of the Holy Ghost. You trespass. You violate his authority and rebel. If you don't have internal order, how can you establish external order? The Bible says that Jesus loved righteousness and he hated iniquity. Now, he did not just refused that iniquity should not manifest in his life. He rebuked it when he saw it in other people. Have you checked the 8 woes of Jesus in the book of Matthew chapter 23? Who was he saying the woes to? The Pharisees. The leadership. They were influencing, using the power of influence that God had given them to take the people to a place that God is not sending them. And Jesus had to. Now, if we had time, do we have time? We don't. We would have checked those 8 woes. You would have seen the things Jesus was addressing. And just in case we see the things that Jesus was addressing, he's still addressing it in you and me today. Tonight is a solemn night. It's a day of rebuke, a day of trouble, and a day of blasphemy. For the daughters are brought to bed, and there is no strength to bring forth. We are going to pray tonight. And the prayer that we will pray, God will answer us. Now, if you really mean business with God, a lot of us had to pay a lot of prices to be here. Because we're sure of what God wants to do this weekend. Now, if you really mean business with God, okay, let me give an announcement. If you want to go, go now. If you want to go, go now. But we are going to pray for 10 minutes, and during that prayer you can go, so that you not distract people that are praying. You have 2 minutes to make up your mind. If you want to go, go. Hallelujah. So it means everybody here is saying, I want to stay. Now listen, if we had time, we would have checked the 8 woes of Jesus and the things that he rebuked. You will see the doctrines we preach and teach. You see it there. He said, well, can we read it? We'll not touch it. Let's read it. Matthew 23. Jesus was the first son of order in the New Testament. There were many of the prophets, in fact, all the accurate prophets in the Old Testament were sons of order. They were the plumb line, the yardstick. If you wanted to be right, you must have to subscribe to the philosophy that comes from their mouth. Hallelujah. Now, we are checking it from the New Testament perspective, and you see Jesus is son of order. Now, I'd like us to see the things he addressed. Amen. Are you with me, Matthew? Tomorrow, God will help us to go deeper. And then you know it's not a time to rejoice. It's a time to be sure that only God has you and can operate you. It's a time to live with the consciousness of the fact that you are God's property and you are willing to allow him have preeminence over your life. That's the only way your heart can be secured and the proton love can be sustained. It's fragile. Are you with me? Alright, let's go on. Matthew 23, as we round up. Amen. Matthew 23, are you with me? Where did Jesus start? The woes. 14, 13. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For ye shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for ye neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye them that are entering to go in. Oh! If the Lord permits, we will start from there tomorrow. Hallelujah. If he permits. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, for ye devour widows' houses. This one takes advantage. Huh? You devour what? Vulnerable people. Ignorant people. You manipulate ignorant people and vulnerable people and exploit them and rob them. We'll go deeper. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye compass sea and land to make one proselyte. When he is made, you make him twofold more the children of hell than yourselves. Woe unto you, you blind guides, which say, whosoever shall swear by the temple, it is nothing. For whosoever shall swear by the gold of the temple, is a debtor. This is the one I'm looking for. When the gold becomes superior to the temple, when gain becomes superior to godliness, the mixture has been established, and the truth, the lie has been taken for the truth. We'll dig into that tomorrow, if God permits. This is the texture of the gospel of prosperity we preach and teach. Meanwhile, God's perspective of material and financial supply is that you get busy doing the will of God selflessly, wholeheartedly, and foolishly. Are you with me? And then God will put upon you the grace required for the resources that you need to fulfill that purpose in God to begin to navigate towards you. So your heart is held up with God, and what is operating upon your life causes the resources to follow you. Now, we are going to see the inversion of that template tomorrow and how Mammon takes advantage of the reverse order. Sons of order need to rise, because we are the last line of defense. This virus has permeated through the defenses, and if our generation is not safeguarded, then our children will grow up in a different world. Now we are going to pray, trusting that God will give us allowance to check those things tomorrow. When the gold of the temple is exalted much more than the temple, when a man goes land and sea to make a proselyte and make him 2 times deserving of hell, it means that his purpose for converting that person wasn't God's purpose for the conversion. He had another agenda. And when he's through with his agenda, he makes it more difficult for God's purpose to find expression in that life. The church is supposed to be a lighthouse, a place of refuge, a citadel, a sanctuary. But there are several people walking around the streets of our nation today that are victims of pastors, victims of brethren in high places, victims that were exalted in the houses, such that their error became the error of the entire church. They walk our streets. They have been made hardened because somebody blasphemed. Hallelujah. First of all, before we close and break camp tonight, I'd like you to rise up. It's a day of rebuke. It's a day of trouble. It's a day of blasphemy. For the daughters are brought to bed, and there is no strength to bring forth. Can we repent on behalf of the Church of the Lord in Nigeria? That image of power that we have erected that has caused great jealousy. Can we repent and say, God, we seek the living God, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, that you might reveal yourself to us. We have wandered in caves. We have wandered naked, devoid of covering, because of our acquaintance to error. Our hearts have known deception. But today, oh God, we come to you, the true light, that lightens every man that cometh to the world. That in our lives you will begin a new front. You will find among us a new people. Men that dance to the beat of a different drummer and pledge their allegiance to a different flag. It must begin with you. It must begin with me. We must decide to redeem the heritage of God that has been lost in our land. It must begin with us. Oh, heaven. Listen to me. The Bible says, if our gospel be hid, it is hidden unto them that are lost, of whom the God of this world has blinded their hearts and their minds, lest the light of the glorious gospel, which is the image of Christ, so shine on them. When our scale of measurement is different, you know, we say success is when you have so much money that you cannot spend in your lifetime. You have a good car, good house. When our scale of measurement is altered, it means principalities and powers have blinded our hearts and our minds. Now, when our hearts and our minds are blinded, then the vista from whence we see, the prism from whence we see, has been altered. That's one. We have been cut off from the possibility of discernment, because the template upon which we stand is on the wrong foundation. And so if God will have to reach you, He will send that prophet from Judah and to do something supernatural, cause an altar, so that you can find out that whereas you were offering sacrifices, it was not to God. Can we ask God to wash our eyes with eyes sound, that we might see? Wash my eyes with eyes sound, so that I can see. If anything affects our eye view, we are done for it. If our scale of measurement is influenced, we are done for it. If our motivation and orientation is influenced, we are done for it. But we will not serve another master. We will not bow to a different flag. Wash our eyes with eyes sharp, that we might see. Come on, Siyama Barate. Wash my eyes, that I might see accurately, that I might discern thy truth, that I might know thy righteousness. Wash my eyes. I want to see. Thank you, Lord. Our generation cries for redemption from you. Our eyes might be worse, that the eyes of our understanding might be elated, that our hearts
doors as a generation. The beast of wickedness have risen. We need sight to contend, courage to fight, and strength to win. We call upon your name. Spirit upon our lips. We want to sing the true psalms of heaven. So wash our eyes with eyes how that we might see.
Jesus' mighty name we pray. Finally, before I take my seat, I want to read a scripture to us. I'd like you to listen attentively. And it came to pass as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with the spirit of divination met us, which brought her master's much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, these are the men, the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. Now please. Wait. I want them to hear this. Don't play. A girl possessed with the spirit of divination followed Paul and his apostolic team to prayer. I thought they said people that operate with evil spirits don't like prayer meetings. Now, it was not enough that she came for prayer. She also gave a word. Now, I would like all the theologians to run an analysis quickly of the utterances that she gave. And then, based on your lecture notes, Introduction to Prophecy, let us take these utterances and put in the prophetic test tube if it passes for prophecy. You know, a prophet under the Spirit of God, when he gives utterances inspired from heaven, they are prophecies. Someone operating by the spirit of divination, when the person gives utterances by the spirit of divination, is called soothsaying. Are you with me? Now, I submit to you today, but in utterance, soothsaying and prophecy is the same. There's no difference. Check it, check. And if you find a difference, please educate us. We will learn. It's the same. These be the servants of the Most High God that show to us the way of salvation. Who can wrong that statement? But you see, discernment can go deeper. Discernment can go deeper from knowing the truth from the lie. You can go to a realm where you can know truth from true. What she said is true, but it's not truth. And I will show you tomorrow the difference. Most of you know true things that came through an utterance that is not truth. Tomorrow, you see that. Developing basic discernment is a risk for the average believer not to have basic discernment. I'm not talking about the level of discernment that is obtainable in the prophetic office. I'm talking about what? Basic. There's a level of the discernment where you can tell between lie and truth. Alright? Where you can tell between false and reality. But there's a deeper level where you can tell between truth and truth. That's the one we need now. Because there are so many guys that have cable platforms. What they say is true. on the account of doctrine and dogma, they cannot be faulted. But friends, the written word came by a spirit, and that spirit sustains his own testimony about things. And until we know the testimony of the spirit about a matter, our evaluation of it will be on face value, will be on the surface. And so when you do not see again by the spirit, you are blind. 95% of Christians in Nigeria are blind. Not having cataract, I mean blind. That's why we need to pray that God will wash our eyes with eyesight. Listen to me. As we will see tomorrow, if God begins to do a new thing in a nation, and a few people are speaking it, and many people do not hear it and come into the realm that God has opened, that prompted the speaking in the first place. Alright? When the time comes and God carries out his numbering system, and enough people have not received enough measure of God to be able to draw out the Spirit from heaven, draw out the Holy Ghost, all of heaven into the earth, the move of God can be pegged because of the number equation. Now, you see, the 12 spies came from the land of promise. 2 had a proper testimony. 10 had what? A wrong testimony. The move of God was shut down because the numbering system was not adequate. Friends, we are down in the number. Until a surgery takes place, we are going to have, God will have to wait for another season. Maybe wait for our children to rise. That's why you need to pray and take a decision today. That's why we cry. That's why we labor. That's why we fight. We fight so that this window will not close on us. If not, the wilderness journey that we resolve, many of us will not survive it. We fight so that this door in heaven will not close. Can we cry? See, this recovery must begin with you. And we didn't just see, oh my God, may God help you to understand. May God help you to understand the price we paid to be here. May God open your eyes to see it. That it's not because you have anything to give us. There is something burning. We are running with that temple. Because this window must not close. Time is not on our side. You must decide tonight whose side you are on. And receive incense. Receive eye salve. So that your eyes can be enlightened once more. Basic discernment is what we need.
Can somebody pray tonight between you and God? Everything that is operational in your life right now that is not there by God, some of you need to talk to God and repent of it. Everything, every software that is operational in your life right now, that thing that God has been trying to call up, somebody ask God for mercy. Mercy, Lord. Mercy, Lord. For the race is not for those who can run and who are strong, but for you who show us mercy. Mercy, Lord. Mercy, Lord. Mercy. Mercy, Lord. For the times when you have said the things that are not correct and you know it. For the times when you have given something as a testimony and you know it's not true. Lord, we repent. Lord, as a church, we repent. Lord, as a church, we repent. We return to you, Lord. We repent, Lord. Mercy, Lord. Mercy, Lord.
Mercy, Lord. Mercy, Lord. Mercy, Lord. Have mercy, Lord. Have mercy, Lord. Redeem your work, O God. 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 Save our hearts from this sin. Save our hearts from this sin. Deliver this generation, Lord. Shana na 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 na. Have mercy, Lord. Have mercy, Lord. Oh, mercy, Lord. Mercy. Have mercy, Lord. Have mercy, Lord. Have mercy, Lord. Oh, the city,
I'm not sure.
I tell you, the race is not really for those who are strong. It is for those whom the Lord showeth mercy. It is for those whom the Lord showeth mercy. And Lord, for every time that we have gone back to the atrocities that made you reject our fathers, we repent tonight. And Lord, for every time that we have said the things that are not truth, we repent tonight. For every time that we have said things and called them prophecies that are not from you, we repent of it tonight. For every time that we have raped your church, for every time that we have defrauded your church, Lord, we repent. On behalf of our fathers, on behalf of our colleagues, on behalf of those who have gone ahead and been slain, and judgment has arisen because of their errors, we repent, Lord. We repent tonight. We ask for mercy, Lord. We ask for mercy, Lord. Mercy. Have mercy, Lord. Have mercy, Lord. Have mercy, Lord. Mercy. Lord, have mercy, Lord.
Have mercy, Lord.
Have mercy, Lord. Have mercy, Lord. Have mercy, Lord.
Have mercy, Lord. Have mercy, Lord. Have mercy, Lord. Have
mercy, Lord. Have mercy, Lord. Have mercy, Lord. Have mercy, Lord.
Have mercy, Lord.
Hallelujah! Hallelujah!
end of Jehovah, 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 Jehovah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I have come to the end of my. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, I have come to the end of myself. Jehovah, 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 Jehovah. Lalababababa Kosu Labayasta Radia Baba Yagaba Storia Nebebelosa Jehova 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 Just lift up your hands because the Spirit of the Lord is judging the spirit of Titus. God is judging the spirit of Titus. Ilaga bahaso sobrata, ratika bahayeliando, ine salamando bolosa, ario sanga kebayasa, ilaga basa kebo kebo balakaya, ilaga kebo kebo
The Spirit of the Lord is judging the voice of the dragon. Is judging the voice of the dragon in the lives of families. Is judging the voice of the dragon in the lives of individuals. Is judging the voice of dragon in the ministries of individuals. Radigabala Gababoko Supregeliasa. Rateko Mondo Basikabala Gada. Radianda Lababa Boko Suli. Hallelujah. 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 The prophet Nahum said, the great harlot, the mistress of witchcraft. He says, by the multitude of her whoredom she has held nations bow. By the multitudes of her witchcraft she has held families bow. And what God is doing tonight is that He's breaking that hold over families. He's breaking the altars of witchcraft over families. He's breaking the spirit of divination over families. Sir, I've not seen you for at least 5 years. But the Lord says tonight, He's judging the spirit of divination in your life. He's judging that spirit that comes once in a while and you feel like you are going paralyzed. God says He's judging that spirit. He says He's judging that spirit of divination. That voice that spoke over your life. That voice that came with the spirit of death. God says He's judging it tonight. And I see that happened in your office. But God says He's going to exalt you as a result of that. God says His voice will thunder over your life. God says even in the Senate building you will be honored. God says He's opening doors for you in that school. Father, we give you praise. God says for many of you He's judging the spirit of divination in your families. Father, we give you praise. Father, we give you praise. Lord, we give you praise. We bless you. While Apostle was ministering, and he came up and stood in front of this little girl, and as soon as he laid hands on her by the Spirit of God, I saw a cloud of darkness be lifted over her. And the Lord showed me yesterday. And I saw that I was praying over this little girl. And I was wearing this same suit. That's why I didn't pray for her yesterday. But God says there's going to be deliverance. And so I saw that you laid hands on her. And I saw certain birds flew into the air. And God says deliverance is coming to her. So please, I want you to minister to this girl. Thank you, Spirit of the Lord. Thank you, Spirit of the Lord. And God is saying the demonic bondage that this little girl came into is because the family exposed her to demonic utterances. I see that several people came into the family and prayed and spoke demonic utterances that held this little girl bound. But the Lord says, I begin the work of deliverance tonight. I begin the work of deliverance tonight. I begin the work of deliverance tonight. And even in the family of this girl, God begins the works of deliverance tonight. I see that several people have walked into the home and they have done enchantment. And the enchantment has swallowed up the finances of the family. And daily the family is going dry and dry financially. But the Lord is judging the spirit of divination tonight. Broken. Broken in the name of Jesus. Broken in the name of Jesus. I see someone being attacked by the spirit of suicide. You are a young man from Nazareth State. You are being tormented by the spirit of suicide. I want you to run here quickly. Radigaba haso sovreteya. Rakepo sabalande miata. Rateko bayalababoriasa. Ilebologo balagabasa. Radigaba sempretete miata. Ilabaya kababondo sapata. You have been tormented by the spirit of suicide from Nazareth State. The Lord is bringing deliverance right now. Lord, we break the hold of the spirit of suicide. Loose, loose, loose. Loose, loose, loose. Loose. You are free tonight. This spirit is broken. 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 In the name of Jesus. Is the one saying his father too? has been suffering the spirit of suicide many times come. This is the work of divination over the family. And I decree tonight in the name of Jesus, total deliverance come to your family. Total deliverance come to your family. In the name of Jesus. Father, we give you praise, we bless you. We give you praise, we bless you. Father, we give you praise and we bless you. And the Lord is saying, for many people, this spirit has haunted the fortune of your family. This spirit has haunted the fortune of your family. But God is bringing deliverance in the name of Jesus. Please come, you. You that is looking back, come. God is showing me that some people have come into your family in the name of prophets. And they have come with enchantment and sorcery that has held your family bound. And that's why they have been struggling, even in health situation and even in finances. Certain false people that came into the family as prophets. Is that true? Because your father brought them. But the Lord is saying tonight, the yoke is broken. The spirit of divination that has held your family bound is broken. Brandi kabala hasus abrahati yanda mikamala hatakom brati keveliyasta mila bahasus abrahate keviliyata. I'm hearing the name Deborah. I'm hearing the name Deborah. Where's Deborah? Just lift up your hands, Deborah. Yes, come. Maliga bahasus abrahah. The Lord actually showed me you. But I was looking around because I saw you when you walked in. And I was looking around and I didn't even know you were Deborah. But I'm seeing this spirit has been oppressing your family. I'm even seeing the oppression of this come upon your body, especially in the season of your monthly cycle as a woman. And it's taking to corrupt and affect reproductive organs. That's what I see. And that's why there have been some oppression in that area. Am I saying the truth? Am I saying the truth? But the Lord is breaking the yoke tonight. The Lord is bringing total deliverance to you and your household. Nothing shall affect your reproductive organ. The work of the divine now is broken in the name of Jesus. And I see like a growth around the stomach. Just put your hands there because I see the Lord operate it out of your body. Radigaba, Hasoso Prate, Riga, out in the name of Jesus. Move! Rabba Sikapalahate! Radigabaston Breketeliata! If you are here with the name Abraham, just come! Abraham, just come! If you bear the name Abraham, you are totally delivered! Go for a medical test because you are delivered! You are free! Abraham, deliverance come to you tonight! Deliverance come to you tonight! God is judging that spirit that has oppressed you. For I saw that you read demonic books. You opened yourself to demonic activities. And you have been oppressed and several times you feel like committing suicide. But tonight is your night of liberty. Tonight is your night of liberty. I break the yoke right now. Out! 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 In the name of Jesus. You are loose. You are loose. I break that spirit over you. Out in the name of Jesus. Even demonic dreams. You feel like people chasing you to kill you in your dreams. God says tonight, that yoke is broken, you shall not die. You are set free by the spirit of the Lord. You are delivered tonight. In the name of the Lord Jesus, you are delivered tonight. Banda Brahaka Subalaha Ilebaka Boriakata. Is there any lady in this meeting who have two children? I'm seeing, I saw the vision right from yesterday, a dark lady who has two children. It's not mama. Because I saw that same spirit of divination haunting the family. If that lady is here, I want you to lift up your hands. Maybe you are that woman, wherever you are. You have two children. Wherever you are, I want you to just lift up your hands right now because the Lord is bringing deliverance. Liga Barahasa. Okay. Please come. Liba Haso Sobrahati Kabalasa. Radiga Bahaso Sobrehete Kubalasa. Ilego Barata. You have two children. Makabo Shakabraha. Ratakaba Sutavaha. The Lord is breaking that yoke. God is breaking the activity of suffering that has fought against you and your children. And God is saying there's going to be liberty from tonight. There's going to be supernatural open doors that will come. In the name of the Lord Jesus. For the glory that was covered is being opened. In the name of Jesus. Total liberty. They will challenge this with the family. God is healing relationships around your life. Challenges with the family. I see like the family came together and several people speaking evil about you. And you know about these things, but God says He's bringing deliverance tonight. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we give you praise. We bless you. Just lift up your hands. The Lord is giving me the name John. God wants to deliver John. John, you are from a riverine area. The Lord wants to deliver John. John, you are from a riverine area. Where is John? Just come quickly. If there's more than one John here, I can pick the John. Because I'm seeing works of witchcraft around the family. Where is John? Just come. John from a riverine area. What state are you from? God is breaking the yoke of witchcraft tonight. And I will see the affliction that the enemy has brought upon your mom. Look at me, I'm seeing affliction in her body. I'm seeing affliction and it's almost causing like paralysis. I'm seeing it here. Am I speaking the truth? Look at me. Am I speaking the truth? But the Lord says tonight that power of witchcraft over your mom is broken. And the Lord says her legs have been healed. And I want you to call your mom after this meeting because there is a miracle being released. I decree that miracle into your family. And the things that the spirit of divination has suffocated, come alive! In the name of Jesus. And the certain challenges that you have seen, that you experience in your academics, is traceable to these frustration and challenges that you are going through in your academic and you are asking God why. It's because of the spirit of divination affecting your life. But I decree that deliverance come to you right now. Release in the name of Jesus. Be free in the name of Jesus. Lord, I give you praise and I bless you. Lord, I give you praise and I bless you. Father, we thank you, we honor you. Lord, we give you praise and we bless you. Lord, we give you praise and we bless you. That the Lord says tonight is opening something in your life. Please, I want you to stand up. No, not you, Daddy. Daddy, I've never spoken to you. We have never spoken about your life. But I saw something. The Lord showed me a place in your bedroom some years ago. And I saw that you sat close to a window by a cupboard and you are reading a fat occultic book. And the Lord says, there are certain limitations. There are certain open doors that looks as though it's about to happen around your life and suddenly the door is closed. And you begin to wonder and ask the Lord for many years of labor. Why is it that it looks like when I'm about to apprehend this breakthrough, the door closed? And the Lord told me, He said, it's a spirit, that pathos spirit that came to monitor your life and suffocate your advancement and your calling in Him. Even though you are born again, but God says tonight there will be an opening. God says you will go home and you will lie down and you will feel as though the heaven literally opened over you. God says because it's the beginning of a new season in your life. Father, we give you praise and we bless you. We give you praise and we bless you, Jesus. We give you praise and we bless you, Jesus. We give you praise and we bless you, Jesus. My brother with the red shirt, just lift up your hands. You there and come. No, yes, you come. Lord, we give you praise and we bless you. Lord, we give you praise and we bless you. I'm seeing somebody in the family wearing a priestly gown, and I'm seeing the person dead by the spirit of witchcraft. And the Lord is saying, I want to bring redemption. Wearing a priestly gown. Who is that person?
Someone in the village.
No, in your family, wearing a priestly. I'm not, the person is not demonic, like a minister. He's a minister of the gospel. As I look at you, that's what I saw in your family. Who is the person? A minister of the gospel in your family. I'm seeing the person wearing like a priestly gown, like Anglican or something. Who is the person? An Anglican priest, like a minister in the Anglican setting. I'm seeing the person like standing by the pulpit wearing this kind of Orthodox priestly gown. That's why I'm saying what I'm saying. You don't have a minister in your family. Lord, I declare that that person's life is redeemed. I declare that that person's life is redeemed. Whoever that person is connected to you, I declare deliverance to him. I declare deliverance to him. In the name of Jesus, my sister, I lift up your hands for the demonic affliction that you've been experiencing even in dreams. God is breaking it right now. For those snakes that you've been seeing that came as a result of your dealings before you met the Lord, God is breaking that spirit out! 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 In the name of Jesus! Come out! Come out! That foul spirit, out! You have been having encounters with snake. You have been having encounters with snake. I don't have to see all the details, but the Lord is delivering you right now. And all the false men that came into your life and plundered you, God is bringing restoration. In the name of Jesus. Lord, we give you praise. We give you praise. We give you praise. And I'm hearing your name, Doris. 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 Because I'm seeing the Lord showing an affliction coming on your mom. And God says he's breaking the bands of untimely death. God says there will be no untimely death in your family again. God is saying there will be no untimely death in your family again. God is saying that which took your father shall not touch your mom. Liberty in the name of Jesus. Because I see that recently two people died in the family. Two elderly people. And the Lord shows me that one of them is the one who sponsored the altar that brings destruction in the family. The yoke is broken in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Lord, we give you praise and we bless you. Lord, we give you praise and we bless you. Lord, we give you praise and we bless you. My sister, you lift up your hands. This first sister, lift up your hands. I'm seeing family contentions that has to do with marriage, with that marriage. And I'm seeing that the demonic have calculated that on the week of marriage they will strike. But the Lord is saying he's breaking that yoke. And God is saying the marriage that is coming, the yoke of the enemy shall not stand upon it. And for that one that you have thought and wonder, can anything good come out of him? God says there's wealth. And I see a card given after wedding. You understand what I'm saying? Because you are actually preparing for your wedding. Father, we give you praise and we bless you. We honor you. We thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And so God says,
Even the season, the health condition that comes upon your wife, it attacks and it leaves. It attacks and it leaves. God says that yoke is broken. God says you won't need to be taking her from hospital to hospital because the yoke is broken tonight. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
How many of you received those words as prophetic words from the Lord? Amen. I want you to go in this night tonight. But just before you go, I have that leading to do as we did yesterday. You are sick in your body, place your hands there. You want to stand in for someone who is sick somewhere else, put your hands on your head. Pastor Mrs. Aramel will be praying for the sick again. Just short prayer done yesterday. You saw many people got healed on the spot. For those of you who have not called, call, make calls. I received a testimony last Kingdom Matters. We were praying right here. Somebody whose father was down with a stroke and couldn't write anything with the right hand started writing on the spot. Called, made a call. Okay, so when we are saying things like that, we are not joking. You want to stand in for somebody who is sick, put your hands on your head. And while she's praying, you call the name of that person and keep quiet. For those of you who are sick in your body, if not, go and come back. You'll be healed on the spot. She has an anointing for that. Okay, are you ready? Are you ready? That's all we're going to be doing, and then we'll be on our way in a short few minutes. Please don't leave the hall. Please. Okay, Mama, please go ahead.
I see the light. It's shining. I see the light. It's shining. It's shining, I see the light. 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 It's shining. I see the light, I see the light, it's shining, 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 I see the light shining, shining. Shining on the street, upon the bed, I see the light is shining, it's 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 shining
I see the light. He's lifting depression. There's somebody here, you have depression. Things have weighed you down. You don't even know where to turn to. But the Lord is saying, see me. I'm shining on you. There's someone, you're just sick. You are sick. Sick of your academics. The thing you've tried and tried and tried. It's not coming out. It's not coming out the way you read. I see the light of Jesus resting upon you right now. Turning your situation around. He says, focus on me. Focus on me. Focus on me. I'm here. I'm here to heal you. I see someone gripped with the spirit of fear. Oh Jesus. He has not given you a spirit of fear. Boldness he has given you. Sound mind. Love. Receive love. Receive love in your heart. Receive love in your heart. Receive love in your heart. Receive boldness. Receive boldness. Boldness. Where there is fear, boldness. Eh, shake in those two bahayabaha. Rusa Hashimaha. Perfect love. Cast out fear. Eh, so the Hashimaha. I release the spirit of love. The spirit of love upon your heart. Upon your heart. There's somebody you've not been able to love anybody because you feel that you have not been loved. You didn't receive love from your home. You didn't receive love from your family. So you don't even have the ability. But I say, receive love tonight. Receive love tonight. He's given you love in a greater dimension that you've never seen before. Thank you, Jesus. Those who are sick in the body, you are healed. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Father, I worship you. I exalt you. You're beautiful. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Now check yourself and do what you couldn't do before. Check yourself and do what you couldn't do before. Do something you couldn't do before. Do something you couldn't do before and you discover that you have been healed. Amen. Our time is fast spent, but well spent. Amen. I want to bring up God's apostle again to do some functions. But I want to remind you, go in the spirit of the message. A lot of altars, spiritual, personal altars were cleared. That's why I saw the descending of this kind of an anointing. Do you understand what I'm saying? Some things that you are struggling, you just discover you're out of this place and they're already out of your life without much words. I'm hungry for tomorrow's meeting. Please, let's welcome God's apostle again. Amen. Hallelujah. Please, we want to do something. We want to do something. We have been brought into responsibility in the kingdom of God at a very young age. And so the language of responsibility is what we need to get used to. There are several cities that are connected in this nation as strategic places where God has ordained to be his storehouses, where his weaponry are safeguarded for such a time as this. These cities need consistent pounding, and it happens to be that Zaria happens to be one of them. A lot of porches, a lot of witness litter this city. And because of that, we will have to be coming in again and again to hold meetings like this.
Hallelujah. Now, but we need to do something. Because I don't know. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Because this sound is not, I'm not hearing what I'm saying, actually. But I wonder whether it's by the gift of discernment or spirit. You hear small and discern the rest. Now, what we want to do, in order for us, we want to have some good equipment. We are going to contribute. It might take a long while, but we'll keep contributing. So that when we come to hold meetings like this, even when you have graduated, 5 years after you have graduated, we can do holy convocations and congregate in these strategic cities. We have found out that some cities are connected by God's connection. They are linkages, not geographical linkages, but spiritual linkages. And the same things that are happening in some of the cities, the mirror image is happening in other cities, and we have seen the trend and the pattern, and there's no way we can stop coming to Zaria. There's no way. Now, so we want to make plans to ensure that it will be easy for us to come in and go out, as God will help us. Now, so as a long-term plan, we are going to, all of us will contribute to get stuff so that we can have good sound, good stuff that will make it easier for us to come as many times as we need to come, and God will help us in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, secondly, these ones here, were rented. And so we will need some seed today, tomorrow, to work things out, administrative stuff out. God will help us to partner together as we raise the banner of the kingdom higher in the name of Jesus Christ. You see, a new church is springing out of the ground. And it is springing because God put the structures in place for the spring. And this spring will not be cut off. It will grow and become a dread to the kingdom of darkness. Once in a while, we'll have to go out of our ways to make sure that the structures are put in place for it to continue. God bless you in the name of Jesus.
Father, we bless your name tonight. Lift up your hands and bless the Lord. Worship Him. Give Him praise. Say, Father, Lord, we thank you. For Kingdom Matters is not just an ordinary meeting that we just be like gathering people, but we come to have, oh Jesus, contact with you. Bless His name. Appreciate Him. Give Him thanks. Lord, we thank you. Lord, we worship you. Let your name and your name alone be glorified. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Can we please all share the grace in fellowship? The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit rest and abide with us now forevermore. Amen. Give it to your neighbor. Surely, give it to your neighbor. Surely, God's goodness and mercy shall follow you all the days of your life, and you shall dwell in God's presence forever and evermore. Amen.